Thank you, Joel, for sharing about God's faithfulness. I think it ties in a little bit to what I was pondering. And one of the things I was pondering is, if I was to ask you, how many of you have a fear or a test or a trial you're currently in, or one that you anticipate could be coming, I think there'd probably be a lot of hands that go up. And so I think reflecting upon what Joel has said is pretty important, right? We need to know that God is faithful. And I think there was a passage I wanted to look at in Romans that I think tied into that. So in Romans 8:31, a very common passage, it says, what shall we say to these things? These fears, tests, trials that we might currently be in or anticipate could be coming. If God is for us, who can be against us? As God is faithful, as Joel said, we don't have to live in this fear. We don't have to think that all hope is lost if we got a test or a trial potentially coming, or one that we're currently in. How do we know that? Because he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He'll give us all that we need. He'll provide the way of escape in our time of need. He's going to give us what we need in the midst of the trial. If he didn't withhold his son, he'll give us everything else we need as well. There's nothing more precious than his son. And if he didn't hold that back, he'll give us everything else we need as well. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? He's saying, look, if we're in that test, in that trial, we're anticipating this thing that could be coming. Man, this could happen to me, or that could happen to me. Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? In other words, who's the one who's defending me? Jesus. He's interceding on my behalf, on your behalf. There's no better lawyer representing us. He's interceding on our behalf. These are great promises. Verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? The answer is no. These things ought not to separate us from the love of Christ. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Isn't that fantastic? Whether it be this fear that we have that potentially could come upon us, this trial, this test, he's going to cause us to become more than conquerors in the midst of those things. These are tremendous promises. It says, for I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, right? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I was just saying, these are fantastic promises, and I think we need to know these promises, and we need to hold on to them. Because I think we do live in a time where there's lots of fears or tests and anxieties that can come upon us. But yet we ought to be more than conquerors through these things. And so I was just thinking, like, who do all these promises really apply to? Who is it that can boldly say, he is the one interceding on my behalf? He's going to make me more than a conqueror. Who can say that? Can just anyone in the world say that? Who can say that? Who can cling to these promises? It says here in verse 31, when I started, it says, what shall we say to these things? Right? What things? I think it talks about it in verse 28, a little earlier. It says, and we know that all things, these things, work together for good to those who love God. And I was asked this question to my family a couple times this week. What is the most important thing right now for us? What's the most important thing? And I think the answer is right there, to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all of our strength. Because if we love him like that, These are our promises. These are the things we can hold to in the midst of those fears that try to come upon us, the trials we find ourselves in, or maybe the test that might come next month or next year. We don't have to live in fear of those things. Look at the promises we have. Look who's on our side. Look who's our defender, who's our interceder, who's going to cause us to become the conqueror through those very things that the enemy can try to make us fear. We don't have to fear. God's on our side. And so I was just thinking, we need to make sure that we are in love with him, that we love him as a disciple. Right? Do we really want to be his disciple? What does it say? It says, not all those who say to me, Lord, Lord, not all of those who say I'm a Christian, but it's those who do his will. Matthew 7. These are the disciples. They love him more than all other relationships. They love him more than themselves. They take up their cross. And they love him more than the things of this world. And I was thinking, for me, I was kind of like, Lord, do I love you like that? And just kind of like, I think we kind of got to take stock sometimes and just sit back. Lord, do I love you more than all these other things? Lord, show me where I'm at. Am I loving you like that? And if we realize it, maybe he's putting his finger on a couple things. Say, Lord, change my heart. Lord, help me, right, to will and to do for your good pleasure. Put that desire, that will in me to love you more than these other things as well. Because those are the areas, if we don't love them like that, that's where we can stumble. But we want to love them with all of our heart. And I really think that then we can claim these promises. And I think we need these promises now more than ever, as we face a future that, according to this earth, from the man's perspective is uncertain, but yet not from God's perspective. If we love him like that, we're going to be more than conquerors, and we don't have to live in fear. Isn't that tremendous? That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to live in fear. We don't have to live in fear. It talks about, in Proverbs, about a lady, in Proverbs 31, I don't know the exact reference, but it talked about this godly woman. And she laughed at the future. She didn't have fear of the future. She laughed at the future. She was well prepared for the future. And how do you and I get well prepared for the future? By loving him with all of our heart today. Then our future is secure. And I was just, that was my heart this week. For my kids too, for my family. Are we loving him like that? Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart. Maybe we can just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for this day. And I thank you that you are a faithful God. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to love you in the exact time that we live. Lord, you've ordained it that this is the exact time that each of us is on this earth. Lord, help us not to wish for a different time, but help us to be found faithful to you today, loving you with all of our heart, that we might shine brightly for you in the midst of the darkness. And Lord, that we'd be able to have confidence, knowing that you're faithful, that you'll not allow us to go through trials that are too big. Lord, that you're able to help us be more than conquerors, and that, Lord, you're interceding on our behalf, causing us to have exactly what we need to overcome in the test that we individually are going through. And Lord, if there's any area, Lord, we're not loving you with all of our heart, I ask that you would put your finger on it, Lord, that we might know what it is. Lord, that it would not become between you and us, that we'd be willing to surrender that too. In Jesus' name, amen.